Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And thus we begin our broadcast day with Joe Walsh ringing the opening bell with a great song, Rocky Mountain Way. And this is a good one. You don't have to play the air guitar to this one. You can play the mouth guitar to this one because you go, ran it, ran it. We got a good show for you. We're going to talk about the election, look back, see who voted for whom and why and who didn't and why. We'll talk with Mike Strain, Bill Cassidy, U.S. Senator. Talk about energy. We'll talk with Dr. Brent Wallace from People's Health. We're going to talk with an Alabama beat reporter about the Crimson Tide. We'll talk with Dub Lane about Trump's plans for the economy. And then we'll talk with the executive director of CCA Louisiana about a government success story. That and more when we come back, WWL. All right, so remember what Tracy Porter did in the Super Bowl? That's kind of what the wind shear is going to do with Raphael. Look at it that way. Raphael's going to jump the route. It's going to look like Raphael is coming here, but the wind shear is going to jump the route and intercept it before it gets anywhere near Louisiana. So we're looking at highs of 84, 82, 84, 60% chance for showers on Sunday, highs of 82, then 79 for a high on Monday, in the 70s next week. And they're saying by next Friday, highs, not tomorrow, but next Friday, highs only of 69, which would mean a cooler start than that. So let's hope we finally get some cold weather. Justin Buechler joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University, as we look back at the election and how Donald Trump was able to win the popular vote and the Electoral College. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. I saw some notes that I found in my briefcase. You know, I don't know about you, but I got these tablets all over, and I write down notes, and I jot them down. Sometimes I find them, sometimes I don't. But before the election, they were interviewing somebody in Montana, I think it was, and the residents were blaming they said they were Democrats, but they were blaming the President Biden and the White House for the housing cost in Montana. Which is interesting because just a week before, I saw a story about a lot of people with means that are pricing people in Montana out of their own homes because it is a popular place to move, and rich people are moving in and raising the value of real estate so that people of modest means can't live there. The only thing I'm trying to say is, does that speak to maybe conflation of issues where, going back to the James Carville thing that I've heard quoted ad nauseum, it's the economy, stupid, where it might be the economy, but people don't necessarily tend to attribute the cost to the cause of it rather to the right reasons?
So there's a lot in there. So it's usually the economy, but the economy can mean a lot of things. And so when we say it's the economy, what about the economy? Housing prices are part of the economy. When you're talking about increases in housing prices, that's a part of inflation. And when you look at the big difficulty that the Democrats had and the big advantage that the Republicans had going into this election, looking at the economy, GDP growth was pretty solid, but the hangover from inflation, which is mostly under control at this point, we're somewhere around 2% inflation by most measures of inflation. But that still means that prices never really came down because we never had negative inflation. And that meant that Biden's approval rating was hovering around 40% or so by most measures. And that was still hurting Kamala Harris. Swapping out Biden for Harris didn't get rid of all of the negative factors for Biden. And the big thing working against Biden was inflation. So housing prices, prices for goods overall, that was going to be working against the Democrats no matter what. Now, when people tell you how they voted and why they voted the way that they did, one of the problems with that is when you ask people what their motivations were for their vote, a lot of people can't necessarily tell you all of the factors in their head because they don't necessarily know themselves. So they will make a decision in their minds about their vote, and then they sort of have to rationalize it. And they can't necessarily tell you all of the reasons that factored into their decision. So it's a little bit difficult to say for any one person. What we usually do is conduct a bunch of surveys. We ask people what their votes were. We ask people what their party identification is. And then we ask a large battery of questions on issue positions. And then we try to parse what kinds of patterns we see overall in order to determine. Now, maybe it will be the case that perceptions of housing prices will matter. I don't know. But we have to do that at the aggregate level because it's not necessarily the case that people know what motivates their individual voting decisions. It's much harder than that.
So who... I don't even know how to start asking this question, Professor. You know, I can tend to ask some lengthy ones, but going back and looking at who lost who or who picked up whom, I don't know if you want to compare it to Biden-Trump and then Harris-Trump. Would that be the better way to do it with women or minorities or college-educated or not? Are there key groups that stand out to you in this election?
So it's hard to do that. I mean, we have some preliminary data from exit polls, which are sometimes not the most reliable. And one of the tempting thing, one of the tempting things to do is to try to see which demographic groups shifted. Now the problem is that elections aren't conducted by demographic groups. We can see some shifts, but one of the things that we have seen is some kinds of polarization. So we've seen the gender gap growing over time. So if you look at women, you will see women moving more towards the Democratic Party, but you've also seen men moving more towards the Republican Party. And as that gender gap grows, it's not just a question of men moving towards the Republican Party. It's also women moving towards the Democratic Party and where that center is when the gender gap grows. And trying to parse it by demographic groups, one of the problems that we have is that the press will sometimes arbitrarily pick some demographic group. And if you think back to the history of, say, soccer moms or NASCAR dads, and then trying to find that group in surveys, we look for the demographic group that we call the key group. What we tend to see overall, though, is that overall, you can explain about 85% of the votes with just party identification in any presidential election. And then you're looking at these narrow slices of the electorate who can potentially be swayed. So trying to find some demographic group misses the point that the persuadable voters in any presidential election are such a narrow slice that trying to figure out which demographic group is persuadable, you're just looking for a really narrow slice given how much party ID explains.
I want to take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back talking to Justin Buechler, our friend, associate professor of political science at Case Western Reserve University, taking a look back at the election. One question I have for him when we come back is, were there any sea changes in campaigning here? Was it an anomaly because Donald Trump is who he is? And is this going to change campaigns moving forward? If you have any questions or comments, the Oakwinard Jeweler Talk and Text Line, always open, the text line at least, 504-260-1870. A little bit too busy for calls in the morning. As a matter of fact, let's look at traffic right now.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off site-wide, plus premium doorbusters, and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
On WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University, looking back at the campaign and the presidential campaign, the election. So, Professor, there were some anomalies here, right? You got a former president running again. You got a candidate that just started the campaign in, what, July? June, I guess it was, after the debate. You got former President Trump, or President-elect Trump, President Trump may be the best way to refer to him, being the unique character that he is. Do you learn anything from this election that carries forward to future elections, or is this just an anomaly, just a one-off?
Well, let's put it this way. We've seen a former president run before. It's just been a little over 100 years since that's happened.
And a lot's changed.
So a lot's changed since then, but that's happened before. We've also seen president step down and have the sitting vice president become the nominee relatively late in the campaign at the convention. We saw that happen in 1968. So if you think about all of the weird things about the 2024 campaign, most of them have happened before. What I find interesting about it is that they've just all happened at once. From the former president running again to the incumbent president deciding not to run, vice president becoming the nominee, selected at the convention. All of this has happened before. It's just that we had everything happening at once. But what I actually find really interesting is that despite everything happening at once, all of these weird events happening at once, when you actually get right down to the voting process, it was almost strangely comfortingly normal. The basic underlying factors of the election suggested that the election should be very close. Fundamentally, a tie, it was a close election. This was not actually all that much of a blowout. It was pretty much a close election. The polls actually did pretty well this time after two elections of getting it really wrong. 2016, they were wrong. 2020, they were wrong, but not as bad. Trump lost, but he outperformed the polls. This time, the polls were pretty good, so the polls got it right. So despite the fact that we had all of the strange things that you just noted and more, it was a strangely comfortingly normal election. One of the lessons that I take is that when you have all of these strange things happening at once, they kind of cancel out as random noise.
Let me ask it this way. If 4 years from now, whomever is running for the Republican office, for the Republican candidate is, because the Republicans will be the incumbent party, right? if inflation is as bad as it has been now, and I understand people need to understand that inflation might have gone down, but the prices are not going to go down. If there's another spate of inflation like that, would the Republicans be in as much trouble as the Democrats were this time? Is it still about...
So I don't know about inflation, but if the economy is in bad shape 4 years from now, the incumbent or the Republicans will be in trouble. Inflation plays a strange role in elections because what happened was that long period of inflation brought down Biden's approval rating. So it wasn't inflation directly. It was that overhang brought down Biden's approval rating because inflation right now is only at about 2%.
But the prices are still high.
Right. Exactly. And that hurt Biden's approval rating. So if the economy is in bad shape 4 years from now, then whoever the Republicans nominate will be in trouble. Yes.
I'm still trying to figure out if the economy is in good or bad shape because the stock market, even before the election, was booming, but the prices were high. Thank you, Professor. I appreciate your time. We'll talk to Mike Strain when we come back. Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. We always learn something when we talk to Mike. Right now, it's time for WWL First News. 6:38, 22 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. I think I might have eaten too many pistachios too fast last night. You ever do that? Maybe I should have peeled them first. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get back. We'll talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of the Department of Agriculture and Forestry here on WWL. 6:44, 16 till 7. Cullen Steele, Manning Master Control, doesn't turn my microphone off. And you might have heard me singing a little bit of the James Gang. And as Commissioner Mike Strain joins us, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Mike, I'm glad I wasn't telling one of those farmer daughter jokes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. I know. You got to watch those open mics. I've seen some things or heard some things said on open mics that would shock you.
Those will get you. That's the kind of things that could get you fired. Not with a bang, but with a whimper, right? An unguarded moment.
Yes.
Anyway, let's talk about the election and a clear mandate, popular vote, and Electoral College. Let's talk about, first of all, with what happens between now and January, whatever the inauguration date is. I think it's 6th, is it? Whenever it is.
Well, right now, and actually the Trump team started early on recruiting people to go to work in the administration. So that is ongoing, and it starts off, you know, with the phone calls, then we'll go through the vetting process. There's a lot of jobs to fill, you know, literally thousands and thousands. Where, you know, in my particular area, it's at the USDA. And so looking at who would be the secretary of the USDA, the undersecretary, and then the deputy undersecretaries of all the various departments and agencies. And then it goes all the way down to the head of the Farm Services Agency and the National Resource Conservation Service here in Louisiana. So with a new president, all of those positions, they terminate. And they have to be filled, and then it really starts a race to get them filled because you've got to get them through the confirmation process. Sometimes that can take months, and we don't have months to play around. We've got to get to work. There's a lot of things. We don't have a farm bill, and the odds of that getting passed right now are marginal. And the farm bill has expired. Some of the things will continue, but at the end of our calendar year, most of everything in the farm bill, except, of course, the crop insurance and the food and nutrition program, most of the other programs cease to exist. So I think they will probably do an extension, but they've had 2 years to vote a farm bill, and they need to get to work immediately and move that farm bill forward. And also, there's going to be a reexamination of trade treaties. Probably a holistic look at everything that we are doing across the world. As you saw, the markets reacted very positively. The markets like certainty. We're going to be very busy, you know, moving in foreign markets, trying to increase our exports and get the value of our commodities back up where they need to be, especially if you look at corn prices and soybean prices. Even though there's great worldwide demand, the value that the farmer is getting is less than their production cost. So we've got to fix that.
How much of a concern are reverse tariffs on tariffs that are put on products that are imported if those countries to whom we export products put tariffs on those?
Well, there is a concern about that. However, Most foreign countries hit us with tariffs far higher than anything we ever do.
Okay.
That's been an ongoing problem. The tariffs and the non, what we call it, some of the trade irritants or these rules they put on us to protect the foreign markets that has nothing to do with what is in the crop. And so, in other words, you're supposed to have these rules to protect if you don't want specific genetics there, if you don't want specific diseases there, there are those. But then some foreign countries put up very difficult roadblocks just to protect their markets. At the same time, they won't have full access to our market. And so one of the things, if you look at it, China was really bad about that, as well as some other countries. And in the first Trump administration, that was a big deal. But at the end of the day, he leveled the playing field, and that was a big deal. The USMCA, United States-Canada-Mexico agreement, it was just totally out of kilter. I'll give you, for instance, you're a wheat farmer, and you're on the border between U.S. and Canada. Canadian wheat would come into the United States and be sold just like any other wheat product. American wheat crossing the line the other way could only be sold for animal food, not for human consumption. Mm. Clear violation. And same way things were done with milk, where they could sell their milk here and we couldn't sell our milk there, and wine and that sort of thing. And we straightened that up the same way with Mexico. Our biggest trading partners are Canada, Mexico, and China, and they rotate. You know, often Canada can often be our largest trading partner, second to Mexico. And then it just depends on what's going on in China. China, things are difficult there because their debt is so great. They have national debt, which you see, but they also have municipal debt that is equal to or greater than national debt, and it's really inhibited their ability to grow and feed their people. And now the Chinese government has decided they want to go on a new direction of manufacturing everything, so getting natural resources from around the world, manufacturing everything, and then sending it back out. So we have to watch that they don't start dumping commodities in order to balance their books, and that's a big deal.
I don't think that's right. I'm kidding you. You've forgotten more about it than I'll ever know. I'm just pulling your leg. Hey, when we come back, we can take a break. I want to talk about tariffing the hell out of foreign seafood. Put a 800% tariff on it or something like that. Could that be done where we don't have to worry about it anymore? We don't have to worry about labeling or anything else, that possibility, and we'll talk about more with Mike Streeting. Any questions, comments, just about, you know, average agriculture stuff, you can text him in at 504-260-1870. He'll be glad to answer them. He's also a gifted veterinarian, a very beloved veterinarian. Mike, I got to ask you, how's Hootie?
Man, Hootie is having a hooterific day. Every day is a Hootie day. Hootie's right here licking me, you know, making sure that I'm doing my job talking to you. Hootie might talk to you. You never know about Hootie.
I hope so.
Real rambunctious.
Hootie's the new member of the Strain family, a little basset hound puppy. And we always like to check in on Hootie, see how she's doing, right?
Absolutely. She helps me get dressed in the morning. I have to chase her down to get my shoes.
Oh, goodness.
Right?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, yeah, when I reach for my shoes, they're gone.
651, 9 till 7, traffic now, WWL. 657, 3 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Mike Strain. That's who we talk to at this time of day every week, Commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, gifted veterinarian as well. Mike, when it comes to tariffs on foreign seafood, is it possible to put like a 2,000% tariff on foreign seafood, and then there would be no mislabeling, no this, no that, or is that just not going to work?
Well, you have to look at tariffs. You have to look at what trade treaties currently exist between the different countries. Mm-hmm. And generally speaking, if you put high tariffs as a market barrier, then there will be retaliation under all the different trade treaties. And then if you violate the current trade treaties, that sets up another situation where you go to an arbitration and you could end it. It's a mess. And only the Congress can do that. Now, they can put tariffs on to level the playing field. For instance, if you have, like in India, where you have these massive shrimp farms and they start dumping shrimp at a price lower than our production cost, and you can level that up. But that's up to the United States Congress, and they have to do that. Now, here in the state, what we are doing is that the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries through the Shrimp Task Force and the Office of the Lieutenant Governor through the Seafood Research and Promotion Board, with a directive from the legislature, they are going to send us dollars, and we are signing those contracts now well, we're going to be testing imported seafood for adulterants, in other words, antibiotics and other things, reporting that back to the boards and then hence back to health and hospitals. So that is going to start probably, we hope, within the month. We've had meetings on that. The lab's gearing up. So we'll be testing. And then also the labeling laws will go into effect on January the 20th when the rules go into effect. So we're going to be taking a bigger section of seafood regulation. And then health and hospitals, which regulates the retail side on country of origin, we'll see. You know, we have a good relationship with health and hospitals, but some of that may be shifting over to us. So our office of weights and measures and our testing, we're going to get more involved. And again, the main thing is that we're going to be looking at labeling, just like we did the labeling laws on, you know, on rice and other commodities. We're going to be looking at labeling on seafood as well as.
Mike. We're out of time. You know what you can do as a consumer? Buy Louisiana. We'll be back.
Blinds.com is kicking off the savings early with Black Friday mega deals all month long. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results. And Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. It's a busy season. Skip the long lines or waiting around all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing on quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. And you can get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Black Friday mega deals all month long at Blinds.com. Get up to 45% off select styles. Plus, score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure right now at Blinds.com. That's up to 45% off and a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.